And I thank God this morning for his grace and mercy, his wonderful presence. Thank you for a wonderful worship songs that you led. Let's pray together before we go into the Word. Father, we thank you, we bless you, and praise you, God, for this beautiful morning, Lord. Lord, your presence is beautiful, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you that, Father, you gave us this opportunity on this beautiful Sunday morning to gather as a community of believers, O Lord, to worship you, Lord, to exalt you, Lord, to bless you, Lord, to thank you, to magnify and glorify your name, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this great privilege. Thank you, Lord, that even as I share your word, O Lord, that may this word be a blessing to us, Lord. May it be that seed of faith that will plant it in our hearts, that will become such a fruitful tree, O Lord, of faith and blessing to everybody. Lord, may you bless this word. Hide me, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, will become visible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Wonderful. Oh, beautiful, guys. All doing well? Praise God. Yeah, Pastor Nuhu mentioned to me, Phil, he said, one thing, please be on time. Because, you know, I come from Brampton, so I time myself because, you know, I have to be on time, and it's a beautiful drive on Highway 7. Praise God. Today I want to share something so beautiful, the word. All of God's word is beautiful. Some of the words will really touch your hearts. So this word, as it always touches my heart, is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. When you look at verses 7 to 18, when you look at this, you know, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. Now, Corinthian church, it is a new church. It's like a church plant, a baby church. Paul did the evangelism. He did this evangelistic journey, established this church plant, and he went on, you know, along, you know, ahead of his journey, and because he was planting other churches. So this church has to now figure out community, figure out what to do in the face of Corinth. With you know, the cities are powerful, the city of Corinth, and it's very very powerful city with a lot of deities and their gods, and it was a pagan city. And then in the midst of that, this little church, this little body of Christ is planted there, right? The ecclesia, the community, the fellowship is planted there. And then they were elders, they were leaders. But then Paul was writing to them constantly, and he was, you know, going back and forth. And then this is one of the letters he sent, you know, second letter to the Corinthian church. And then he mentions this, he's talking about what is our place in God's kingdom, and how we look at ourselves. Because many were discouraged. Right? When you look at in the midst of a big city, imagine, now we have all the resources for us Christians now, right? On a touch of a button, we got everything, right? Sometimes too much information there. How many of you agree with me? The information overload. Everybody who has an idea about what they think about God loads it onto the internet, and it becomes a wildfire. You know, it destroys some. It protects some, but it just becomes crazy. But then this church didn't have anything, no resource, nothing. They didn't have a library for what to believe. It's only these writings of Paul, and then what Paul told the elders and trained the elders. They only have this. So now they have to base this. So this letter comes because there are some things happening in the church at Corinth. And then he writes in a beautiful way. He's encouraging them. He's upholding them, exhorting them. It's so beautiful. It is, this is for a church plan. This is for a fledgling church, a growing church, a church that is just thinking, you know, what should we do now? How do we take this forward? What should we do? How do we expand? How do we grow? And then there is a lot of contention. And then Paul, you know, he writes this in 2 Corinthians, you know, chapter 4, verses 7 to 18. He mentions this beautiful truth, this of God's promise for us. He says, we have this treasure in earthen containers. He's telling them, guys, you're thinking, you're small. You might be little, small, or you might be powerless, or you feel persecuted, because also at that time, the authorities were coming after the new believers. They were coming after. Now, we see in so many parts of the world, the believers have been harassed, persecuted. You hear from the persecuted church. And they were coming after the believers. They were coming after, because at that time it was like, we got to suppress whatever this is. Because a mischievous, they called it the mischievous cult of Jesus. At that time, all the Romans and all these people, they called it the mysterious cult of Jesus. So they said, we got to now destroy this, because this is going to, because it is growing and people are experiencing God and the Holy Spirit is working and the authorities were getting restless. If you don't stop this now, it will go and do something to, it will destroy everything that we are, right? Because they have built all this, you know, temples and all this worship. And then Paul is telling to these believers, is saying, you have this treasure in earthen containers, meaning you might be fragile. You know, you might be weak, and you might be, and he talks about, you know, in many ways, he talks about, you know, earthly, materialistically, you know, politically, socially, economically, culturally, religiously. You might be just, you might be thinking we are helpless, we are poor, we are ordinary, we are powerless, we don't have anything. But he says, you have this treasure. You have this treasure in earthen containers. This is containers that are perishable. That is, you know, but this is very, very, very precious containers. We have this treasure. In the olden times, people used to bury treasure in earthen containers too. Now, if you know, in India, they used to put treasure in containers like metal and earth. I don't know in China if they do that too. I don't know. Ancient times, what they used to do is they didn't have banks, they didn't have walls, they didn't have bank lockers, right? So what they did was they took a pot, a metal pot or an earthen pot, they put all their gold, their jewelry, and they dug it in the ground and they put it in the ground. I don't know if you heard about it. Many of you might know. And then sometimes they forget, or the people in their house, they all die. And they all die. That means they forget. Many times they forget where they put it. Because they dig it up. Now, if you go to India, this is. I know you will hear this from many people. Like, you know, not Christians though, not people believers though, but non-believers. They always think. They'll think, in our house, do you think there's some gold buried? There's a common thing. You know, there are stories, funny stories about people. You know how they have this. This astrologers or. This you call these gurus, right? In the Indian mythical teachers, right? Who with long beards and they wear the saffron clothes or whatever, and they're going around, Hindu teachers. So they go to some homes, if they go, and they say, there is gold in your ground. It seems they say, I saw a vision or something, and there's gold in your ground. And then they tell the owner, you got to start digging. So some fellows dug up the whole house. You don't even, I've literally seen it, I literally know it, I know people, they dug up their whole house. Now, these are not believers though, but these are, some believers might do it too, I don't know, because there's gold, right? So they dug it up. One fellow dug his kitchen, living room, bedroom, everything he dug, there was no gold. Now they have to fill it up, right? So this, you know, and in ancient times, they have this, because this concept of treasure in earthen containers was very common. People understood it. It's not like a foreign concept. Because they used to put gold and they used to put precious metals, they used to put all that they have, and they used to put it in a safe place, or they dug it in the ground. So they said, you have treasure. That means you have these precious things that you store. Your body, yourself is a treasure, and you have this treasure. So that the extraordinary greatness of the power will be of God and not from yourself. Because he's telling them, it is not from yourself. So don't be afraid. Don't feel powerless. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. This power is not of you. You cannot do anything to build the kingdom. The Lord will build it, because this extraordinary greatness of the power will be of God and not from you. So Take off the burden. Take a deep breath. Let go. Sometimes we think everything is in our head. We got to build something. We got to do something. And I've seen pastors. I've seen leaders. I've seen members. I've seen so many people in my 25 years of ministry life. Some people really get, and they get anxious. They go to psychologists. They go to psychiatrists to them because they feel like, I want to do something for God. I want to do something I'm not able to do. I know I want to build this. And there's a pressure always on the people. How many of you feel pressured sometimes in life? Feel pressured? Because you feel like you want to be here, you're here, and you want to like be there. And like you're here. You want to be here, not there. And then what happens is there comes a time when you feel helpless, anxious, restless, angry, and you know, trouble yourself, trouble everybody around us, right? And this was happening in the church of Corinth too, because people are feeling restless. Some people are saying, give up, give up. Why are you guys doing this? Many of them were opposing, saying, why are we doing this about Jesus Christ, this Paul guy? Leave everything. Let's go back to our worship in our temples and let's stay in a good place. Because if you stay with them, we are influential. We got power. We got money. We got support. We got everything. Don't do this thing. But Paul is telling them, you know, the extraordinary greatness will be the power of God. And then he says, we are afflicted in every way. We are afflicted in every way. But not crushed. Amen. You have a song, right? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. How many of you know this song? You guys don't know? There's a popular song that we sing. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my sickness. I've been giving it all up for the sake of the Lord. Right? There's a beautiful song. And it says, crushed. That song came from here. It's a very famous song, actually. But not despairing. Persecuted but not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed. Always carrying around in the body the dying of Jesus. Praise God, praise God. While I was preparing the sermon, I came across this funny, little bit of a joke, humor here. One senior said to some person, he said, there are four advantages to getting old and forgetful. Another senior said, yes. One, you meet new friends every day. Right? That's a good thing too. I don't know. It's like, hello, how are you? And next morning, hello. You're introducing yourself again and again. It's a good thing. And if you're a big group of people, you're introducing each other every morning, it's okay. Right? Unless the other person enters, third person, they're like, why are they introducing each other every day, right? Number two, they said, every joke you hear is new. That's a good one too, right? Every time someone says a joke, and after the end of the day, they forget next day, it's like you say the same thing. You make them happy. One joke can make you happy for the rest of your life until you go to the grave. Single joke, single, that's enough, right? Three, you can hide your own Easter eggs. This is something that they, and fourth, she said, I forget the fourth thing. You know, just a little humor on the side. But then, you know, he says, do not be afraid, do not be worried. Age, material, all of these things, you know, everything that we see with our eyes is of no consequence, he says. Because you have eternal glory, eternal treasure, eternal power, extraordinary power of God is in you to do extraordinary things, to work extraordinary things. It might not be right away, right? It says, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body, in verse 10. So that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who live are constantly being handed over to death because of Jesus. The life of Jesus may also be revealed in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. God will do a mighty work. Whenever we think about our lives, you know, whenever I think about my life, many times I think, Lord, what a joy to live in you. If I'm only placing my strength, my hope, my healing, my eternity, everything in my own self or in my material things or in my achievement, in my title, in my greatness, I would be the most unhappy person, right? Because you may lose. You know, I was reading during the, 2007-08, right? America went through the whole financial crisis, the subprime crisis where America lost a lot. I don't know how many of you know that. America in 2007, 2008, 2009, they went through a huge recession. I don't know if you heard about it, many of you, but I was following the news and it was massive in America. Trillions of dollars was wiped out from economy and many people committed suicide. And one billionaire I was reading in the news that time was, he lost $1 billion in a single day and threw himself before the subway train in New York. Just threw himself, that's it. Because he placed all his trust in that thing. If you place your trust, even if you lost $1 billion, you say, Lord, you will provide, you will protect, you will give. Because my hope is not placed in that. My hope is placed in you. Hallelujah. Because that is what happened. I was feeling so sad for the family. The family was so sad, you know, because there's a lot of money, I know, right? But then in Jesus, when you lose something, when you're unable to achieve something, you still have hope. You hold on to hope. That is the most beautiful thing. In my ministry life, I prayed with people who were suffering with lots of terminal diseases. I prayed with people who lost so many things. I walked with so many people. And when I tell them the hope of Jesus, they're constantly weeping and their hearts are broken. But then when you're walking with them and tell them what Jesus sees, this I tell these treasures, I read this word to people who are struggling. And when I counsel, when I walk, I said, you are a treasure. In earthen vessel. You are a treasure. All the things that you see outside around you is not something that is permanent. But you are the treasure. You're going through this thing, but God has a mighty plan for you. And how when I walk with them and I share with them, and how many, most of the time and almost all the time, when the healing goes through, they're so rejoicing. They're serving God. They're praising God. Amen. When this amazing, amazing, amazing. It's because you see there's hope in Jesus. Yesterday night, there was a big gathering in Ajax. I was preaching. 15th wedding anniversary of a couple. They went through a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, deaths during COVID and lots of things happened in their lives. But God blessed them wonderfully. God held them. And I walked with them, this couple. They have a beautiful life now, beautiful home, children. They are very blessed with great, wonderful things. And they said 15th wedding anniversary. They invited a lot of friends, you know. Indians, we like to celebrate too. We want to invite the whole town, right? You might know, sister, right? We had a big gathering with lots of food and ladies dressed up in all the jewelry they can get, neighbors and theirs, I don't know, right? We come like fully decked because we want to celebrate yesterday evening, and we're thanking God for the life of those this couple. And they were in tears because, you know, so many times their marriage came so close to breaking up and getting destroyed, everything there. But now they have a beautiful, because they remained in prayer, because they remember that they are treasure in earthen vessels. Yesterday I was celebrating with them, was so beautiful. Amen. Praise God, because that is the hope we have in Jesus. If not, everything falls apart. Everything falls apart. You know, the world says, you know, what you see is what you get. But when we are in Jesus, it's beautiful. And that's the reason this morning we meet like this, this beautiful church, because you are treasures. Turn to your neighbor and say, I am a treasure. Amen. Say with conviction, because some of you are like, I might be a treasure. In my church, when I told that, I preached a sermon a while ago in my church. I said, turn neighbor, people are not turning. I said, turn to your neighbor and to declare, because you're declaring the word of God. Say, I am a treasure. Then they began saying, you know, because people are afraid. What will they think, you know? Some people are like, I might be, I might not be. But you are a treasure of God, amen? So you have to say, I am a treasure. You wake up in the morning and you say, I am a treasure of God. I am called extraordinarily. I'm made extraordinarily, built extraordinarily. God has a great purpose for me. I can move extraordinarily because the Lord Jesus is my Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit is leading my life. I am not a leader of my life. The Holy Spirit is the leader of my life. Every morning you declare that and see, I am not a leader of my life. How many of you are leaders of your own life? Yes, God gives you the strength to make decisions. That's important. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. But we are not leaders. We should not be leaders of our life. The Holy Spirit should be the leader of our life. That's what You know, Paul is saying, praise God, praise God. But we have these treasures. And then he says in verse 13, but having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, so that grace having spread to more and more people will cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. When we are looking ourselves as treasures, when we know, Lord, you have a great plan for my life. Lord, you want to use me to bring people to you. Lord, you want to use me to bring salvation to many. Lord, you want to use my thoughts, my words, my actions to proclaim your gospel, to proclaim your word. Use my life. Make my life a living gospel, Lord. Make my life a living Bible, Lord. When you say that, God will use us in a mighty way. No matter what we go through in our lives, it says here, it will spread to more and more people. See, joy is contagious, how many of you believe? Faith is contagious. Joy is contagious. Healing is contagious, right? We can become contagious, right? We are contagious with the gospel. When COVID came, no one touched each other. You know, there was a new thing that they developed in India, like namaste, right? So everybody like, I saw some white people saying namaste. I'm like, okay. I don't want to shake your hand. They learned this new thing, right? Because in India, namaste means good morning, how are you? It's a very respectful way we fold our hands and say this, right? Like no one touched, you know, anybody. You know, we do not, he says here, we do not lose heart, knowing that he raised, will also raise us with Jesus and will present. It is contagious. Meaning, when a person filled with the presence and the power of God and the promise of God and the testimony of the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus, in the midst, even though they are going through tough times, when they are, the joy of the Lord will fill their hearts in hope. When you go somewhere, you will bring that joy with you. Your pain, your suffering, what you're going through in your body, it will not affect others, but the joy in the Lord will touch other people. And you will be healed. Some other person will be healed as well. Amen? One person, I don't know if I told this illustration to you. I have a pastor friend of mine told me this story. It seems a lady came to him, said she has some disease or something, and she said, I don't know what I can do. I want to die. I want to die today. I want to, everything is gone. I feel so helpless, restless. And this pastor said, this, and he said, Pastor, pray for me. I said, okay. He said, I'll pray for you, but why don't you go and find at least 4 to 5 people who are suffering and pray for them. Go find people and pray for them. They might have disease or whatever they're going through in their life. She's like, I am going through. I want to die. I am helpless, restless. I'm broken. I'm hurting. Why the heck are you asking me to go and pray for somebody? Why don't you pray for me and get it done with? That's what this lady was saying. A pastor said, look, see what happens. The joy of the Lord is in you. You are a special person. He encouraged her. He sent her. And then she said, whatever. Okay, she went away. It seems she didn't do for a day or 2-3 days. Sometimes she said, oh, the pastor said, he's a man of God. He said the word. Let me go in. So she found 3 or 4 people and prayed for them, prayed with them. And they cried and they wept. And then she said, and then she, after a few months, this lady came back to the church. And she was in tears. And the pastor said, what happened again? Like, did you pray? She's like, Pastor, I cannot believe what you did to my life. Pastor, I don't know what happened. What will she say? She said, my life changed because when I found somebody out there and I prayed with them and for them, they got healed, I got healed. My disease, my sickness, everything is gone. The doctors are surprised and shocked. Amen? Surprised and shocked. And she said, I don't know what happened. You asked me. I was so angry at you. I went to him. I told my husband, this guy is pastor. He should pray for somebody. I'm suffering here. He should come to me and pray with me and counsel me and sit with me. But then, and then she said, when I did it, that is because we have been given the extraordinary power of God. He said, even though we might be dying, Jesus is the wounded healer. Even though he was on the cross, he was healing people. He said, forgive them, Father, forgive them. He was healing everywhere. Even though he was tested, he was pressed, he was accused. He was attacked all the time. Jesus went on. He was healing people. So in your life, I'm telling you, it's a challenge. The word of God, I'm telling you today. Whatever you might be going through, you might be going through the toughest time, the hardest time, the worst time, the crush time. Everything is falling apart. Your hope is crushed. You don't have, something's not going well with you. But pray around. Pray for yourself and pray with others. Find somebody. Pray and proclaim the gospel and tell your testimony. See what will happen to you. Things will change extraordinarily. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Pray with somebody. Tell them it changes. When you look at the story of Abraham, you know, in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10, he said he left his homeland and traveled looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. He was looking to obey God and let him lead in whatever direction God has in store for him. When you look at, in Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 21, talks about Abraham again. In Romans chapter 4, verses 19 to 21, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Amen? He says here, you know, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. When the angel came and told, the three angels came and told Abraham, you shall have the children. They will be stars of the sky, the sand of the sea. They will be, God will give you a son. God will give you, and they will be multiply and all these things. Sarah laughed. You know the story in the Bible? You know, Sarah laughed. Sarah said, will it be possible? I am past the childbearing age, 100 years old plus, and this guy is also 100. How will we have children? How will we consummate and have children, right? What is this guy talking? What is this guy hearing? You know, what is these three strangers coming to my tent and this old guy is hearing to them and then rejoicing? Do you feel that way, right? If in the present context, you put somebody, three strangers will walk into your home and three strangers that you don't even know. And, you know, if you're a wife and your husband says, cook a meal for them, cook the best meal for them. Three total strangers, no clue. Husband says, cook the best meal, and the guys will say something that is out of this world. And the husband is like, wow, I believe it. And the wife thinks these three, four of them are crazy. Right? Wives, right? Do you agree with me? If your husband, how many of your wives here? Right, you? If your husband come, some four fellows come into your home. What's your name, sister? Leah. Your husband, yeah? Ian and Leah. So Ian's four strangers walk into your home from somewhere. Where do you live? Markham, some road in Markham. Four guys are walking and three guys are walking and they enter your home. And your husband says, come, strangers. Ian says, please come. And looks at you, Leah, cook the best meal for these guys. And you say, get out, Ian. You're a mad person. Did you drink something this early in the morning? Right? Will you say or not? My wife will also say, right? Three guys come from somewhere and, you know, and then you start cooking a meal. And cooking the meal, the three guys will say something that is out of this world. They will say, you know, they might say, you will have $10 billion. And then you're like, I don't know. No, I don't know if my husband is a super businessman or not. He looks like Jeff Bezos, but he's not Jeff Bezos. Right? So what happens? But then the promise of God comes in such crazy ways, extraordinary ways. Right? He said, and it says in Romans chapter 4, Paul says very clearly, he says, Sarah's womb was also dead, yet they did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in their faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. We got to, you know, everything is possible to those who believe, Jesus said. We got to believe, cast a vision. When we cast a vision, we got to do a big vision. You know, how many of you know William Carey? William Carey came to India. He's a missionary, right? He was not an educated person. He was an ordinary man. He was a shoemaker. He was an ordinary man. He came to India, to Calcutta, the very popular city in India. And he came, and then William Carey He wanted to be a missionary. Shoemaker, missionary. Didn't have any money, didn't have education, didn't have any influential friends. He didn't have nothing. He was the most ordinary people, didn't even have connections to the Queen of England, right? He just took a ship and came off to India because he wanted to spread the gospel. And William Carey, you know, when you go to Serampore University in Calcutta, India, you see a big, like a plaque there, which says, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. This man was, he translated Bible into so many languages. He built the biggest and the best university in India. The best, even now, the reputation of Serampore University in Calcutta, India is one of the top. It's like an Ivy League school of India. Best educators, best everything for God's glory. They trained thousands, hundreds and thousands of missionaries and pastors. One of the greatest people, you know, in my own family, we have one my person who was called the Billy Graham of the East, my grandmother's elder brother. He preached a lot in India and in my province and everything. He went to Serampore and got trained and cast a vision, and hundreds, thousands, millions of people came to know Jesus. This one person, William Carey, no education, nothing, nothing. He just took a ship, came to India and said, expect, you know, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. You know, attempt great things, attempt for God, expect great things. Amen? How many of you are looking forward to those great things? Amen? Amen. Praise God. Therefore, finally, it says, Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer person is decaying, yet our inner person has been renewed day by day. Amen? For a momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of the glory far beyond all comparison. While we're looking at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal, but things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. When we look at our lives as people of God, we are treasures. We are extraordinary. We are made so wonderful. You know, in Psalm 139, the psalmist says, we are wonderfully made. The psalmist says, we are awesomely and wonderfully made. I give you praise, Lord, the psalmist says, the Psalm of David. Psalmist, I'm wonderfully made, he says. We are wonderfully made for the glory of God. That means God's children, when we are building the kingdom of God, in this broken world, you know, don't lose heart. Don't lose courage. Never, when you're ministering to your families, ministering to people in the community, society, when you're spreading the word of God, when you want to worship God, when impossible things happen, when you think all is lost, look to Jesus. Amen? Look to Jesus. It says here, when we're looking at things which are not seen, right? Because those are eternal. The plans that God has for you. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future and not to harm you. Amen. I know the plans I have for you. How many of you believe that God has a good plan for you? Are you simply sitting here thinking, I'm doing a religious duty? Many of the time, believers, I've seen so many people, they're like, my father was Christian, mother is Christian, my grandparents are Christian, I'm Christian, I come to church on Sunday and leave. I don't know what my life is, right? But there is an extraordinary plan of God. Every believer is filled with the power of God. Your own pastor, Nuhum, has a great testimony. You heard that, right? When I met Nuhum, you know, in Tyndale 23 years ago, I told you how I met him, you know. He was coming up the stairs. I was going downstairs. He said, hello, with a big smile. And I'm like, who is this guy? I don't even know this guy. First time I'm seeing him, I'm going downstairs. And Tyndale is coming up the stairs. He just landed, I think. And they were showing his room. He was excited. And he's like, hello, brother. How are you? I'm like, hey, how are you, man? Do I know you? You know, that's what we say in Canada, right? I'm a stranger. He said, my name is Noah from Mali. And then our hearts connected like David and Jonathan. We became great brothers together. And then he told the story of how God brought him to Canada. Miraculous, all the miracles. And I've seen his life and what God did in his life as well. And how God is using him in a way. Same thing with me. God did mighty miracles in my life. Ordinary people, very ordinary. Very, very, but God, when sometimes I'm amazed, I say, Lord, truly you made me a treasure. I thank you, Lord. each of you are treasures, that God wants to use you for his glory. There's great things that God has in store. You don't even know. The Bible says, no mind has seen, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord has in store for you. God has great plans for you. Cast a vision. Think big. Think extraordinary. Think about the things you can do for God's kingdom. Grow this church. Build this church. Build God's kingdom. Build your family. Build your life. Be a testimony for God's glory. And God will do amazing things. He's a God who never leaves nor forsakes. He's a God who always protects, always heals, always. Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is death. To die is gain. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain, he says. That means I love the presence of God. To live or to die, I live eternally in God's presence. God has a great plan for me, and I love God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's close our eyes as we come in the presence of God. This, your treasures, precious treasures, each of you, doesn't matter what age, what life stage, what situation you're going through, what you have been through, what you're going through, or what you will go through. Doesn't matter where you come from, what's your background, education, socioeconomic, nothing matters. God says, your treasures in earthen containers. The Lord is doing a good work in your life. At this church, beautiful church, Zion Alliance Church, the English ministry, the Lord is doing a good work in this church. And the Lord will continue his good work in his church. And God placed you as treasures in this church to spread forth the glory of God and to build his kingdom. Go forth. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We exalt you, Lord Jesus. As your children, as we all heard your word, O God, you're an amazing Lord. Yes, Lord, as Apostle Paul said, we are treasures with a great purpose, great plan that you have, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit. Father, may you keep us always, Father, focused on your presence, Holy Spirit. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy comes, O Lord, to, Father, to distract us, to show us all the things that we are going through, which are, Father, temporary, Lord, the struggle, the challenges, the anxiety, the worry, the impossibilities, O Lord. But, Father, we believe this beautiful day, Lord, in the Word says everything is possible to those who believe, Almighty God. You raised Lord Jesus from the dead. You raised up, Almighty God, all the mighty men and women, Lord, to serve you. Lord, bless everybody here. Bless their marriage. Bless their family. Bless their plans, the future, Lord Jesus, and do a mighty work in their life. May they always remember that you have an extraordinary plan for them. You want to use them as they surrender their life to you and they walk in your presence, Lord. May you heal them, renew them, revive them, restore them, Lord. May they make a commitment to you, Lord, that the impossible things will become possible. Bless them, Lord. Lead them, Lord. Thank you for this church once again. Thank you for every member. Bless the pastor, the leaders, the elders. I surrender them to you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Bless this word to us, Lord, that we will take this word as a treasure and maybe build upon it. We thank you. We praise you. We bless you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you all richly.